This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
For somebody that is witnessing something for the first time, that kind of blessing, which is unique and very special, reserved for such special people, it shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. I want to believe God as the Lord spoke to me. God said, I have a word for this church. From this word first of this year, it shall be from survivor to reviver. Yeah. It shall be from success to significance. Amen. That whatever, you know, the Bible says that God will have all men to be saved, which is salvation, which is good. Salvation is the ordinary level of a Christian experience, but there is an advanced level. 1 Timothy 2:4, it says God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, salvation is the first, is the ordinary level. Then you have the advanced level. The advanced level is the knowledge of the truth. Aha. And we all know the truth. Jesus is the truth. So my prayer, and when you have knowledge of the truth, heaven is your limit. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven, tell your neighbor, heaven is your limit. So my prayer is that as many as shall operate in the knowledge that they are going to receive all that they have been receiving, in this word first, heaven will take you to the highest elevation in the name of Jesus. Heaven will take you to the highest point of accomplishment in the name of Jesus. Heaven will widen your horizon in the name of Jesus. Heaven can hear loud, amen. Amen. Now please, technical, you give me a little more volume on the mic. Thank you. Now, this morning, I celebrate Pastor Koye, and I celebrate Pastor Joyce for the opportunity to be the guest speaker. I know there is no way the history of Word Fest, you know, just like Pastor Godwin said, it's a journey. We are not yet at the destination yet. Amen? You know, the Bible says, I'm convinced that we are not yet at where we are going. Psalm 102 verse 13. The psalmist says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor Zion. He said, yeah, the set time. It's when? Now. Now, that's good. Our time for God to favor us is now. Now, if you now read further, three verses away. Psalm 102 verse number 16. He said, when the Lord God will have fully built up Zion, Zion will appear in his glory. In other words, the present state of Zion is not the final state of Zion. I mean, Zion is still a work in progress. I don't know whom God is making me to speak prophetically into his life or her life this morning. Whatever that level you are now, it will be the least will ever be in Jesus' name. Yeah. I say whatever level you are now, it will be the least level you will ever be in Jesus' name. Yeah. According to the word of the Lord in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse number 10, you will never have a better yesterday again. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Why? Proverbs 14 says, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. 84:7 of the book of Psalms says, and they go from strength to strength, each one of them appearing before their God in Zion. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith even unto a higher level of faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, but we all, as beholding the mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are said we are transformed even by the same image from glory to glory. I speak prophetically in the direction of a mature people here under the sound of my voice this morning. From this moment, it shall be from glory unto a higher glory for you. It shall be from one level of glory to a higher dimension of glory for you. It shall be so for your children. It shall be so for your wife. It shall be so for your husband. It shall be so in your ministry. It shall be so in your career. Everyone can hear a loud amen. No, I just feel like just speaking prophetically this morning into the foundation of the existence of this church. You know, I have something that is boiling inside of me that I want to explode this morning. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. How many of us has God blessed our neighbor recently? You know, you saw your neighbor yesterday. Let me explain what blessing is to you. You saw your neighbor yesterday and you can see your neighbor today. It's a blessing of the Lord. Amen, sir. But that's the biggest blessing that God gives. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 6 and verse number 5, in that there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? You know, it is sin that is there that is soon as finished. It didn't matter what happened to you. Tell the only boy, it didn't matter what happened to you last year. Say, it didn't matter what happened to you last month. Say, it didn't matter what happened to you last week. Say, it didn't matter what happened to you yesterday. Say, neighbor, I congratulate you because your yesterday ended last night. Today is a brand new day. And we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Listen carefully. I want to believe that your future is worth looking forward to. Please forget whatever the enemy is talking about you. That's why I give you a brief history of my life. If God can do it for OJ Kuye, who was born in the poorest of the poorest of the villages, for me to experience modern civilization, probably I was about 10 years old. I mean, mothers to see electricity. I was about 19 years old. They didn't give us a chance. We were not meant to live beyond like Moses, beyond probably the first few months of life. Things were so bad, rough and tough, hard, difficult. But out of it, a shoot came out of Zion. Listen carefully. I want to prophesy to a particular mother in the house this morning. The Bible said the soul which the builders have rejected, Samuel and 18 verse number 22, it shall not become the chief cornerstone. Yes, I want to pray for a particular mother in the house this morning. You have written off a particular child. Some people have written off a particular child in your life. But God is asking me to tell you, the best and the best of that child is yet to be seen. And for the church of the living God, please, for the church of the living God, when we were about 20 in our church, to the glory of God, we are running close to about 1,000 now. And we always tell people, if you stay long enough, you're going to see the glory of God. When we were 40, that's my mantra. If you stay long enough, I say we are going on the journey. You are going to see the glory of the Lord. If you stay long enough, this is the word of the Lord for Salvation Center people. If you stay long enough, where you have impactful leadership, it's a question, as long as a leader who is purposeful is going somewhere, and you join the cart, you also get somewhere. Aha. So I want to believe God, and I prophesy over your destiny. Heaven will take the church to its desired destination. And heaven will take you to your desired destination. Together, all of us will get to our destination. Any giant on our way to hinder heaven will crush them for us. In the name of Jesus. Now, let us start the business of this morning. The first thing we are going to do, just like yesterday, just two prayers. The first prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Our Father the Lord, as one of the primary prophecies for this year, he said, grateful heart will have more cause to be grateful. And my sister who led us in the prayer, she told us that when you give thanks to God, it is a seed. You understand? That's what Daddy was just saying. When you sow a seed of thanksgiving, greater things will come into your life that will give you occasion for more thanksgiving. We ought to thank God for what he has done for us. I'm going to speak a little bit about that in my message. But for now, we are going to say a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Like I said, if you look at Isaiah 38, verse number 2, he said, the grave cannot praise you. The dead cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit, they cannot offer for your truth. Only the living, as I am, is going to praise you. Psalm 115, verse number 17, repeated the same thing. The grave cannot praise you. The dead cannot praise you. Only the living, as I am, is going to praise you. What profit will there be in my blood? Psalm 30, and verse number 9, after I've gone to the grave, will the grave praise you? Will the grave declare your truth? He said in Psalm 150, verse number 6, let everything that has bread do what? Are you grateful to God that you had the breath within you today? Yes. Can you raise up your right hand above your head and say, Father, say, my Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I bless your holy name for the gift of life. Thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you for keeping my family alive. Thank you for keeping my children alive. Thank you for keeping our pastors alive. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your church alive. We give you all the glory. Begin to bless the name of the Lord. Just say a word of thanksgiving to the Lord. You are the one in the place of thanksgiving today. You are the one in the place of appreciation today. Oh, you want to say you are grateful to God. You want everyone to hear your voice loud and clear. You want everyone to hear your voice of thanksgiving. Oh, yes, you want the heaven to hear your voice of thanksgiving. Hear our voices, oh God. We offer our thanksgiving and our praises unto you. We offer our gratitude unto you. From a grateful heart, we appreciate you, oh God. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The psalmist says in Psalm 25 and verse number 1. He said, unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O Lord, my God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Psalm 41, 11. He said, by this I will know that you are well pleased with me, when you don't allow my enemies to triumph over me. So the Bible says, it's not only going to increase our greatness, but it will also make us stronger than our enemies. Psalm 105 verse number 24. Because if you are great, if your enemy can still catch up with you, your greatness can be rubbed off in a second. So you are going to pray this morning. Sickness is an enemy. It will not triumph over you. Disease is an enemy. It will not triumph over you. Disappointment and failure is an enemy. It will not triumph over you. You will raise up your hand. You will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, on the authority of your word, sickness, you will not triumph over me. You will not triumph over my family. Disease, you will not triumph over me. You will not triumph over my family. Untimely death, premature death, accidental death, you will not triumph over me. You will not triumph over my family. A disappointment, failure, you will not triumph over me. You will not triumph over my family. In the name of Jesus, oh, raise up your voice to the Lord. Let them hear your voice. You are the one in the place of help. You are the one that needs help. Let them hear your voice. Cry not for help. Oh Lord, sickness will not triumph over us. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. People will not be gathered to say sorry to your family. People will not be gathered to pity your family. People will not be gathered to pity our pastor. People will not be gathered to say sorry to our pastor. Heaven can hear loud amen. One more prayer. You know, I just feel like continuing to pray and prophesy this morning. Listen carefully. 1 John 1:1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen, which you have looked upon with our eyes, concerning the word of life, our hands have also handled it. Listen, they have seen the word of God doing wonders in the life of others, and they saw it. They were sharing the testimony. And they are praying, when will my own turn be? He said, that which you have seen, which you have heard, which you have looked upon with our eyes, concerning the word of life, our hand have also handled it. Ah! Your hand will also handle your own testimony. I say your hand will carry your testimony. You are going to pray, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every outstanding miracle, every outstanding testimony, every outstanding breakthrough. This is your time in my life. Come down now. In the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Every outstanding miracle. Every outstanding breakthrough. This is your time in my life. Come down now. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Raise up your two hands. Almighty God under heaven, your children are praying to you. They raise up their voice unto you, the Almighty God, who answers prayers. You don't fight prayers. You don't despise prayers. You don't neglect prayers. You answer prayers. According to the prayer of your children this morning, let there be answer in the name of Jesus. Let the answer come speedily in the name of Jesus. In this season, as a reason of your prayer of this morning, you will handle your testimony. You will touch your breakthrough. You will touch your miracle. Heaven can hear loud amen. A resounding amen. A victorious amen. A triumphant amen. An overcomer's amen. A Goliath slaughtering amen. Put your hands together to appreciate the King of Glory. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I want to rejoice with you and celebrate you. Because I know God has blessed you recently. And if God has blessed you recently, and because you are my neighbor, that tells me very clearly that God is in our neighborhood. And if God is in our neighborhood, I am the next candidate for blessing. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Let's be seated. God bless you. I tell just folks, when God is blessing your neighbor in the church, rejoice with your neighbor. Celebrate your neighbor. Don't despise your neighbor for it. Just celebrate your neighbor. But what that tells you is that God is in your neighborhood. That tells you God is in your church. And if God is in your church, you are the next to be blessed. Amen. This morning, once again, we thank God for those who have gone before us, who have made this program as memorable as it can ever be. Pastor Rick Godwin, my beloved friend, Pastor Tunde Badru, all the way from Houston. And we thank God for what the Lord used them to deposit into our lives. And for this morning, I want to thank God for what he did yesterday. And we also celebrate our God for what he's about to do here today. My prayer is that there shall be no carryover of miracle. Whatever heaven has ordained must happen in this season. Amen. It will happen in this season in Jesus' name. You know, there's something good when miracles come on time. There's something very exciting when miracle comes in time and on time. You know, blessing can come in time and it can also come on time. You know, in the school of the supernatural, when you are talking about the various dimensions of the blessing of God, and now God blesses men. Some blessing will come in time and some on time. But my prayer is that the blessing will come in time and on time for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So this morning, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings in continuation and the grand finale of our World Fest, the premier edition, the inaugural edition of this conference in Salvation Center San Antonio. 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18. And we are going to be reading from just a minute from verse number 41 to 46. First Kings 18. 41 to 46. Then Elijah said unto Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sign of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And several times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time, can somebody shout the seventh time? That he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea, which is the mighty hand of the Lord. So he said, go up and say unto him, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. So Ahab blew away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab unto the entrance of Jezreel. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for the word of life. Thank you because your word is quick, your word is powerful. Your word is performance oriented. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again to share and to glean from your word. And I pray, oh God, that you will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Psalm 119, verse 105, that the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. I therefore pray, let the entrance of your word give us understanding this morning in Jesus' name. Psalm 190 and verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Let your word, O God, illuminate our path in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you that your word will bring encouragement. Your word will bring inspiration. Your word will bring empowerment. In the name of Jesus, our Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. This morning, the final and the last day of World First for 2016, I'm going to be sharing a message that I've titled, Assessing and Exercising His Power. Assessing and Exercising His Power. Now, we established yesterday that God is a God of power. Psalm 62:11 tells us, once God has spoken, twice have heard, that power belongs to God. Tell your neighbor, power belongs to God. You know, the Bible told us, whenever God wants to exercise his power, he normally comes by way of his word. We saw that yesterday, Psalm 33, verse number 6. He said, the heavens and the earth, they were made by the word of the living God, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. We also quoted from Hebrews 11:2, that the word that you are living in, they were also put together by the word of the living God. Hebrews 11:3 tells us the same thing. Now, God did not only put the word together by his word, he's also upholding everything around us by the power of his word. Hebrews 11:3. He said, I'm upholding all things by the power of his word. So, you see, the power and the word of the living God. God makes everything. Our God is all powerful God. Actually, that's the reason why God is called omnipotent. Omni means all. All God that is all powerful. That's why we call him omnipotent. God that can do all things. Psalm 66, verse number 7 says, he rules by power. You know, the Bible says God has the power to kill and to make alive. He said in Proverbs 21, verse number 1, he said, even the hearts of kings are in the hand of the Almighty God. And like the rivers of water, he turns it to wherever places him. That is our God. He's a God of power. And his power is limitless. Glory be to God. So he rules by his power. The good news is that he has also given us as his children the power. We saw that yesterday, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemies. In other words, there are powers and there are powers. So Jesus recognized that there is power of the darkness. He recognized that there is power of the enemy. But now he's telling us, but I've also given you power in order to be able to overcome their lesser power. My prayer this morning, once again, the enemy will not triumph over you. God will give you strength above your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Heaven will give you upper hand over every one of your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Because the enemy also has power. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and over all the powers of the enemies. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tell your neighbor, I have power. Now, before you can exercise an authority, you must be aware that you have the authority. They say with the power of God, knowledge is very critical to possession. Knowledge is critical to possession. That's why several areas of the scripture, the Bible says, my people are destroyed. Not for lack of prayer, not for lack of fasting, but my people are destroyed. For ignorance. Majority of children of God today, they are ignorant. They are ignorant of what heaven has already made as a provision for them. I will run from pillar to post over situation that we should just speak the word of God into. Over situation that we should just speak the word of God into. You know, we're afraid. We run helter skelter. You know, we don't know what to do. We trouble pastor from morning till evening. Meanwhile, God has already given it. Oh, tell your neighbor, I have power. So, knowledge is critical to possession. You know, we quoted from John 1, 11 to 12 yesterday, that he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power. And so, you have received Christ, so you have power. He has already given it to us. And you say, how does this concern me? He was speaking to the disciple and all of them. In what way does it relate to me? Let me quickly fast forward. Now, this is the way it relates to us as children of God. Listen carefully. The Bible says, these promises were not only written for you. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse number 39. Any promise of God that you see in the Bible. Acts 2:39 tells me and tells us they are not only written for us, but they are also written for our children. They are written for as many as the Lord we call. They are written for as many as are far off. In other words, every promise of God that you can see in the Bible is written for you, is written for your children, is written for those who are far off, those are your relatives, and it's also written for your brethren. Those are the people that God has called. Galatians 3:29. He said, as many of us as in Christ, are we then Abraham's seed and here according to the promise? Here according to the promise. We are not slaves according to the promise. We are here according to the promise. In other words, whatever power the world has to do in the life of the people that God gave it originally, in Abraham, in Isaac, in Jacob, we also have the same right, the same authority and privilege. That's it. That's why. Don't begin to think that, you know, exercise of power in certain dimension is left to, is reserved for some people. No! No! It's reserved for every child of God who will be bold enough to take his stand. That this is me. This thing belongs to me. Listen carefully. Let me give us an understanding about the power that you have. The Bible says, speaking about Joshua, in the book of Joshua chapter 12, verse, I believe Joshua 12, verse number 10. Joshua 12, verse number 10. It said that in the day when the Lord, okay, go to Joshua 10, 12. Joshua 10, 12. The Bible says that Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites unto the children of Israel. The battle was tough and rough. The Amorites, they were the stupid and the devilish cousins of the Amalekites. Now, this is what happened. The battle was tough and rough. They fought in the mountain, they fought in the valley. The battle was fought with everything and everyone that they had. But then, they did not have an upper hand. The enemy was about to outrun them. And Joshua needed one more day in order to get total victory over his enemy. What happened? Joshua, he looked into the realm of the heavenlies. And he said, oh, you shall be still. At Gibeon. And all you moon stand still in the valley of Aijalon. Because he needed one extra day. The next verse says, and God hearkened unto the voice of Joshua. The moon stood still over Gibeon. And the moon was still in the valley of Aijalon. Verse number 14 now says, there is no day like that. Neither would there be any day that heaven hearkened unto the voice of a man. When the Lord will first give me a revelation of this passage, I was in my prayer closet. I said, no, Lord, I don't understand this one. No, I don't understand. You need to explain this more further to me. Why would you say there was no day when heaven knocked on the voice of a man? Before then, Abraham prayed to God over Abimelech, and God hid the family of Abimelech as the entire household. After all, before Joshua, Moses prayed to God, and God hearkened unto the voice of Moses. I said, why is it that you said there is no day like that? And the Lord told me, he said, son, now listen. Listen carefully. He said, Joshua was the very living person that ever dared me to reverse my word.
Jesus.
He said, because, son, go back to Genesis 8:22. I've already said it with my mouth. As long as this art in me, day and night shall never cease. He said, but on this particular day, Joshua dared me. Nobody has ever done it before. He dared me to ask me to reverse myself. And I didn't have any choice but to reverse myself. Why? Because I saw in a child who is ready to exercise the power that I've given to him in this generation. I've come to speak this morning. And that's the reason I told us, anywhere I go, I speak as God commands me. Why? Because it's not my word. I'm just a messenger. It's left for God to perform on the counsel of his word. I lay my hand on you. You said you have a headache. I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Bro, how do you feel? I still don't know. That's your problem. That ain't my problem any longer. Why? Because what Jesus said is that I shall lay my hands on you and you shall recover. He didn't say I'm the one to recover you. What I ought to do, I've already done. Whatever you should do is what you should do. So children of God, tell your neighbor you have power. Because you begin to think, hey, but if I lay my hand on it and it didn't get it. You are arrogating the power of God to yourself. You are not the one to heal the person. What you should just do, exercise the power. You need a job and you are going to a place. You go there boldly. You say the heart is the Lord, Psalm 24 and verse number 1. The heart is the Lord and everything that is in it. The word that those that dwell therein. Because we are finally upon the waters and established upon the seas. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hand and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul unto idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He said, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek you, who seek your face. He now said, lift up your heads, O ye gate, and be lifted up ye everlasting door, that the King of glory may come in. He said, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gate, and be lifted up ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Go there, ask every gate that is militating against your success, against your promotion and increase, that they be lifted up. By the word of the Lord, they shall be lifted in the name of Jesus. I said they shall be lifted in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout, they shall be lifted? Let somebody shout, hallelujah. Listen carefully. I told us in the morning. I just feel excited in my spirit. I haven't preached like this in a long time. But I want to believe when something is about to shift in the realm of the heavenlies, God will naturally bring this kind of message. I want to dare you this morning. I want to dare you exercise the authority and power that God has given to you as a child of God. The little OJ that you have seen, by the grace of God, I've had mayors of big city made before me, and I prophesy over them. Caucasian mayor, prophesy over them. Me. Why? Because you see, this power we are talking about is no respect of color.
Jesus.
When they know you carry something that they need, they will look for you. They will look for you. It's natural. They will look for you. I want to prophesy in the direction of just 10 people who will shout the loudest amen. Whatever you have been running after before, we begin to run after you. Whatever you have been chasing before, we begin to chase you. Promotion will chase you. Blessing will chase you. Advancement will chase you. Prosperity will chase you. In the name of Jesus. Be seated. God bless you. I say this, I go all over the world as I'm invited to come and speak. And at times when I finish, I say, Lord, I mean, you surprised me in a different way today. And God will tell me that, look. There is nothing whatsoever. That's what I've said in my word. There's nothing whatsoever that you can ask me. As far as it's in accordance with my will. And you are doing things that are pleasing unto me. I'm going to give it to you. So, I've laid the foundation to let you know that, please, as children of God, our God is your powerful God. And he's so good, he has given the power, he has ceded the power to us. We are meant to reign and rule on this side of eternity as kings. I beg you, please, never let anybody put you down. Never let any situation cow you down. Look that situation in the face. Look that authority in the face. And let the person know, let that authority know that I have power over you. Yes. I faced that situation before. Let me share a testimony with us. We used to have a school. All of a sudden, they called me years ago. And they said the city is about to come and shut down our school. Early in the morning. I said, what have I done? I said, the man that I bought the school from, he ran the school for almost 30 years before he sold it to me. He's a Caucasian. And I'm doing the same thing the guy is doing there. I've not had any citation. I've not robbed foul of any regulation. I mean, why would they? But listen, the person that told me what he told me, she has incredible ears in the city. So I believe what she said. So I went to God, almost in panic. I said, Lord, I need help. And God said, can you dress up my son? Now go to the city. And go and speak directly to the director of school in the city. I said, yes, Lord. So I dress up. I told my wife, I need to quickly run to the city. So I got there, and I said, please. I got to the director's office. So I met the executive assistant. I said, ma'am, good morning. He said, good morning. Can I help you? I said, yes, ma'am. I want to see our director of schools. I said, who are you? I said, I'm so. I introduced myself. I'm so person. He said, what do you want to see him for? I said, no, ma'am. I desire to see our director of planning. He said, who are you? I said, okay, listen. I'm Pastor Ojekuye. I'm a pastor in this city. I'm a citizen of this city. I'm a taxpayer in this city. I'm an employer of labor in this city. So please, ma'am, I desire to see our director of schools. The lady said, once again, I said, why do you want to see him? I said, ma'am, I desire to see our director. I've told you who I am. I'm so person. I'm a taxpayer in this city. I'm an employer of labor in this city. I'm a citizen of this city. And I'm a voter in this city.
Yes.
And the director was inside his office. The director just said, please, can you allow the gentleman to come in? I said, thank you. First victory. Any gate that want to, you see, there are small gates and there are big gates. The small gate will first come at you before you confront the big gate. Any small gate that stands in front of you, get it into the place that heaven has ordained for you. Heaven will crush them in the name of Jesus. I say heaven will crush them in the name of Jesus. I say heaven will crush them in the name of Jesus. Heaven can hear loud, amen. No, I don't want to sit down. Now, I say first victory. So, I went inside and I saw the man, the director. He sat on his rolling chair. And the man was rolling like this. He was rolling like this. And I was boiling in my heart. I was angry from my spirit. He said, yes, my young man, please. Gentlemen, how can I help you? Who are you? And I brought my card. This is my card. And I explained to him again, my name is so. I'm a pastor in this city. I'm an employer of labor. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a citizen in this city. So the man said, okay. He said, you're a pastor? I said, yes. He said, don't you think we have too many churches in this city? I said, director, isn't that good for our city? The man looked at me. I said to the churches that help us to keep the bad boys out of the city. Oh, he said, that's true. I knew where the man was going. Because churches don't pay property tax. So the man was thinking of, we have too many churches. Instead of those premises being occupied by businesses, we pay us tax. So I quickly shut him down. That's all what I went for. So I don't want him to take me on that voyage at all. Otherwise, the devil will give you an assignment that God has not sent you.
Jesus.
Are you going to preoccupy you with talking about frivolities? I said, that's not what God has sent me here for. I said, churches are good for our cities, isn't it? Oh, he said, yeah, that's true. He said, now how can I help you? I said, sir, I just received a notice that they want to shut down our school. He said, where is it? I said, this is the card of the school. Look at it. I said, he said, want to shut down your school? He said, what could have happened? I said, I don't know. He said, okay. He pressed a bell. Once he pressed that bell under his table, the executive assistant came out. You can imagine somebody that wanted to send me back, a bona fide son of God. It is with an ordinary bell that they were calling someone in her. And he wanted to stop me. A whole child of God. And he came, and I was looking at his director. I was bawling in my spirit as the man was rolling on top of his chair. He said, please, can you go and call me the supervisor of schools? And just, okay, yes, sir. And then she ran. Then the man will say, but how have you been running this school? I said, we've been running it well. The man will say, okay, let's see your file. Let them bring your file. I was bawling in my spirit. So I was saying myself under my breath. I said, you, this man, you have one or two options as you are sitting down here. You either hear the word of the Lord and do the bidding of the Lord. Otherwise, I'm going to remove you from on top of this seat by way of dismissal, or I will remove the seat from under you by way of voluntary resignation. You don't have too many. I was boiling in my spirit. Because the man that used to run the school was a baby, was a Caucasian. I said, how is the monkey said that the gorilla said does not resemble? So why must you just put pressure on me? We have about six teachers working in the school. They are all from the neighborhood. Majority of the children in the school, they are from the neighborhood. And so what's the big deal? Am I not contributing enough to the to the city? They brought the file. And the man flipped through the file. He said, I haven't seen any citation on these people's file. Not since they started this school. He said, but for God's sake, Who said they were going to shut down your school? I say, I wonder. The man now said, he told the supervisor, he said, please, can you write down? He said, now, as long as the operation of this school is being run in accordance with the city code and regulation, there must be no threat, letter, or any notice that they will shut down their school. Full stop. Signed. Director of school, so city. He said, please, can you quickly go and prepare the letter or the letterhead of the city for me to sign immediately?
No.
They prepared the letter, they brought it. The man signed it and gave me a copy.
Jesus.
Can you please go and put a copy in their file? Listen carefully. We children of God, more often than not, God has given us a word. He has given us instruction as to what to do. But we get to a particular junction. We stop there because we met with just a little opposition. Meanwhile, God, you know the promise God gave to you, but you submit everything God gave to you. You submit it because you just met a little opposition. Most children of God, that's always the case. It's difficult. It's always difficult for us to believe God. And I continue to wonder. If God has said it, why can't you just take God at his word? He's so sweet. To trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Why is it difficult for us? In America, yeah, they are going to interview you for a job on the phone. They will tell you you did well. Some of us, you won't even see them face to face. They will send the letter of appointment to you. and you are going to be sharing testimony all over the city. You will quickly come to Pastor. Pastor, God has done it too. This job, I was interviewed on phone. I got the job. This is the letter, sir. They are paying me 60K. You will call that K. 60K. You will come to church during Thanksgiving. Come and join me, sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. On the day when you want to go and resume, days before that, you will go to dealers, you go to Macy's, you buy nice suit for yourself. You buy skirt suit, you buy nice suit for yourself, nice shirt, tie, and then you groom yourself very well. And you are preparing to go and resume there. Meanwhile, you have not even seen the person that interviewed you. It's just the voice. You have not seen the corporation. You have not checked out anything. Whether they have the power to pay you the 60K or not. Meanwhile, the God that controls the heaven and the earth, he will give you a promise and you will doubt him. My prayer, thank you, ma. God will have mercy on us. The God that told the employer, you see, and some of us, listen carefully. Some of us have trusted too much in some big uncles and aunties who have disappointed us before. Psalm 147, verse number 10. Oh, Jesus. Psalm 147, verse number 10. The Bible says, God delighted not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the leg of a man. My uncle has long leg. Who owns the leg? Who owns the man? We trust too much in human ability. We trust too much in what people can, mere mortal can do for us. God said, I don't take delight in the leg of a man. If you go to the next verse, God now tells us the person that delights him. Who is the person that delights God? Go to verse number 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, even in those who hope in his mercy. But some of us, we believe too much in human beings. Ah! But for my uncle, you see, there was a time that God made sure that some big uncle disappointed me big time. I say, but this man has power to do this thing. God say, yes, I made it happen that way so that you can learn to trust in me. You know, because I told us yesterday, when you have the kind of background that I had, you cannot but trust in God. The poor of the poorest. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot but trust in God. Now, this morning, I said yesterday that there are two ways by which God demonstrates his power unto us. Number one is word. We've seen that very clearly. Whenever God wants to show himself mighty in the life of a man, it will always come through his word. So that's why you always see in the Bible, and the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 6:1, Ezekiel 7:1, Ezekiel 8:1. Now says the hand of the Lord. Just leave Ezekiel 8:1 alone. Ezekiel 13:1, Ezekiel 14:1, Ezekiel 15:1, Ezekiel 17:1. Ezekiel 26:1, 27:1, 28:1, 29:1, 31:1, 32:1, 33:1, 34:1, 35:1. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 37:1 and Ezekiel 8:1, the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. Beside the word of the Lord, the hand of the Lord is the other way by which the power of God comes into a man. He said in the book of Psalm 118, verse number 15. He said the voice of salvation and rejoicing is always heard in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Is the hand of power. Next verse. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. He now says again, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord signifies in the school of the supernatural, the power of God. What happened in the passage that you read this morning? The hand of the Lord rested upon Elijah. That means the power of the Lord rested upon Elijah, and he did what was humanly impossible for a human being to accomplish. He outran a chariot. A chariot in those days would be a Boeing 707 today. For a man walking on his leg, to outrun a chariot to the entrance of Jezreel. What was the secret? The power of the Lord. The man was turbocharged from within, inside of him. He was turbocharged to outrun a chariot to the entrance of Jezreel. Listen carefully. God told me there are some of us, we are inbuilt with capacity, just like cars. You know that the speed of cars is calibrated. You can see from 0 to 180, from 0 to 240. There are some from 0 to 360. When you are talking of Lamborghini of this world and the fast racing cars of this world. But the fact that it's calibrated from 0 to 240 does not mean you run 240. Otherwise, you have already written your way before you left home. It's what my cool people call buy Dagberry. But you don't do that. You don't do that. But that does not mean that your car cannot run 240. The only thing is that's the way God has made us. God has programmed us with capacity to do above 240. But God is telling me, some of us, we are just on 30. Wow. And you are saying, bro, you are going too slowly. I said, this is my highest speed, though. All these years, we are still on the same point. This is the best speed that we can go on this freeway. When God is saying, on this pathway, on this freeway of life, I have given you the capacity to be able to go at your maximum speed. At what speed are you going today? Under God, by the reason of this message, by way of prophetic declaration, by way of a holy decree, I pray, heaven will divinely accelerate your momentum. I say, heaven will divinely accelerate your momentum. Heaven can hear a loud day. Now, if you must enjoy the power that I'm talking about this morning, there are things that you must do. I am speaking about accessing the power of God. What did Elijah do as a random? Five things you must learn to do. Number one, before Elijah could access the power of God here, the Bible tells us that he told the servant, go tell Ahab, prepare yourself, because I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. Listen carefully. As at the time when Elijah said what he said, there was no cloud in the sky. But he said, go tell Ahab. Let him go and eat and drink and celebrate, because I can hear the sound. And what is God telling us? Number one, you must learn to believe the word of the living God. Number one, you must have to discipline yourself to believe the word of the living God. Why? Because the word of God will never fail. Isaiah 40 verse number 8, it says the grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. You see, for God to fail, for the word of God to fail, we mean God will fail. It's impossible for God to fail. Hebrews 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says by two immutable things, by which it is possible for God to lie. Numbers 23 verse number 19. God is not man that you lie. Neither is he a son of man that you tell. Have I said, will I not do? Have I decree, will I not bring it to pass? Titus 1:2. He said, God who cannot lie has promised. You must have to learn to believe in the word of the living God. He believed the word of God. He went. He said, go and tell Ahab, let him prepare himself, because I've had the sound of abundance of rain. We have believed other people too much. We have believed the report of some consultant too much. It's time for you to begin to believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Number two, if you must experience what you are talking about, you must learn to celebrate the promise of God rather than the performance. Write that down. I'm going to explain it. Learn to celebrate the promise of God rather than the performance. You know, Jesus himself, he had to tell John 20, 29. Jesus had to tell Thomas, the doubting thief. He said, 20, 29 of the book of John. He said, it's good that you see, and therefore you believe. He said, but blessed are those who have not yet seen, and yet they do what? You must learn to celebrate the promise of God before the performance. If God has promised it, celebrate. Because God promised. He said, yet there is no cloud. He said, but just go. Begin to celebrate. Because I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. And yet there was no cloud in the sky. No cloud. Yeah. But believe in the promise of God. That if God has promised rain, rain will come. It's just impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. His words have been tried and tested. It has been tried and tested in lives. Number three, you must be a person of faith. And I'm just not talking, I've read about faith in the Bible. When the rubber hits the road, we will know whether you believe what you have read or not. When your back is to the wall, that's when we will know. What is faith? Because this is very important in receiving and exercising the power of God. Faith is important. Faith is the currency that, it is the only currency that everyone understands. What is faith? I define faith this way. Faith is the ability to hear the inaudible, to see the invisible, to believe the impossible, and to receive the incredible. Faith is the ability to hear the inaudible. The man said, I heard the sound of abundance, and yet no cloud. But he said, I heard. What are you hearing? Faith is the ability to hear the inaudible, to see the invisible. You remember the Elijah? When that stupid king, who had too much to eat, and he sent a group of 50 soldiers to go arrest him. The first four soldiers came. He said, if I be a man of God, all of you get roasted in fire. Fire roasted there. The next 50 came. Fire roasted there. When the remaining, when the top 50 came, they said, we are wiser than those stupid ones. Please, prophet of God, we have just come for entreaty. We have not come to attack you or to do anything. And the servant of Elijah was afraid. He said, with all these 50 army, and he saw his master was cool. And he asked his master. The master said, can't you see legions of armies of God surrounding us in this valley? And the servant was saying, where are they? Ordinary eyes cannot see into the supernatural. So listen carefully. If you must have to exercise the power of God, you must have to be somebody of faith. Let's now go to the book of faith. Just to explain certain things to us. If God can do it for those people I'm going to talk about, God will do it for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith. That tells you that faith is in the present tense. You know, there's a faith that you have that as you are listening to me. If you step out of this place, may God. You have faith to receive certain things as you are speaking to me. That is natural. You step out of this place. That's why when I preach, I always tell people, please, any word that you hear me speak, if it is for you, just write it down. Once I leave the microphone, once I hand over the microphone, more often than not, 90% of what I've said, I don't remember them. Now faith. Can somebody say now faith?
Faith
is always in the present. It's what you believe now, as the man of God is speaking. Now faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, by faith the elders who have gone before us, they obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, by faith we come to understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made by the things that were physical. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch did not see death, because God took him. But before God took him, he had this witness that his life was pleasing unto God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it shall be impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and is a faithful rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham. Hebrews 11:11 says, even by faith Sarah, received strength to conceive and to bring forth after she has passed the age because she just got faithful. Hebrews 11:13. I'm going to jump some, because I want to also bring up the key ones. We are going to Hebrews 11:40, which is the last verse. Now, Hebrews 11:13 says, died in the faith, having not received the promise. They died in the faith. But how did they relate to the promise? It said they saw the promise afar off. They were assured of them. They embraced them, and they confessed them, but they did not receive the promise. We are going somewhere. Just keep that verse 18, that they didn't receive the promise. Hebrews 11, run now to Hebrews 11:20. The Bible says, that by faith Isaac. Hebrews 11, 21, by faith Jacob. Hebrews 11, 22, by faith Joseph. Right? If you go to Hebrews 11, 24, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, or when he was born, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hebrews 11, 23 says, by faith, the same guy, the same Moses, when he was born. Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith Moses. Hebrews 11, 25. You continue to read, Hebrews 11, 25 tells us that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. If you go to Hebrews 11, 27, he said, by faith, this same man, he forsook Egypt. Hebrews 11, 28 says, he observed the Passover. Hebrews 11, 29 says, he passed through the Red Sea with all the children of Israel, and their enemies pursuing them. In an attempt to do the same thing, they perished in the Red Sea. By your faith will carry you through your Red Sea on dry land. Yeah. Every enemy that is attempting to pursue you, they will be drowned in the Red Sea. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews 11, 30 says, by faith, the wall of Jericho, they came down flat without shooting any bazooka. Why? Because they had faith. So they could exercise the power of God by faith. Hebrews 11, 31 says, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe. Anybody that does not believe will perish. Romans 14, 23 tells us that whoever doubts is damned. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews, and that is Romans 11, 23, Romans 14, 23, Romans 14, 24. Now, let's just quickly run. I saw that Hebrews 11, 31, isn't it? Now, Hebrews 11, 32 says, also by faith. He said, time will fail me, just like time is also failing me this morning. Time failed the writer of Hebrews. Time will fail me to speak about Gideon, or Balak, of death of Samson, of David and Samuel, who through faith, they serve this kingdom. They walk righteousness. They turn back the army of the aliens. Out of sweat, out of weakness, they were made strong. He said, the women, they received their death, being raised back to life. They were able to quench the fiery fire. They came out of the lion's den, talking about Daniel. By faith, they obtained all of this. Now, let's quickly go to the last two verses, which is where the rubber hits the road for them. Hebrews 11, 39 now says again, and all of this, having also obtained a good report. If you don't like the report you have in your hand now, you must learn to operate by a higher dimension of faith. It's as said, they received a good report through faith, but yet they did not receive. Can somebody say they did not receive the promise? Hebrews 11, 13, Hebrews 11, 39, saying the same thing. They didn't receive the promise. Why? Was it because God couldn't give it to them? No. Was it because God hated them? No. Was it because God didn't want to give them? No. What is the answer? Hebrews 11, 40. Because God has something better. Can somebody shout something better? Now listen, rise up on your feet. There are some of us here. You have been disappointed because you prayed for something and you didn't receive it. It's not because God didn't want to give it to you. You have prayed for that husband. That bro came. But all of a sudden, that bro said no again. Don't worry. Don't kill yourself over it. It's because God has something better. You have prayed for that lady as a wife. You thought you are almost at the place of signing the register. However, she turned back. Don't kill yourself over it because God has something better. There is a promotion you are expecting. You know you are qualified for it. You deserve it. That job, you know you are qualified. You deserve it. But you have prayed. You have not received it. It's a promise you know it's for you. You didn't receive it. It's not because God cannot give it to you. It's not because God didn't want it to give it to you. But because God has something better. Can somebody say God has something better? Listen, that day God gave me this understanding in the scripture. In my prayer closet, I shouted, I ran, and I said, what is going on? I said, no, I'm receiving something fundamental here. Something that is going to change the way I look at things forever. I don't get disappointed with things. Things will always be things. But there is a God. Hallelujah. Who has authority, control, and power. Hallelujah. Over things and people. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout something better? Applies on some things before, that all my heart was on it. And when I thought I almost got it, The first slip through my hand. I said, Lord, why did you allow this? God told me, no, don't worry. He said, there was a season I was believing God for a new car, for another car. God spoke to me, I should give the car, the first car I bought on car note in America, called Busibushi Montero. After I paid off the loan, the car note, God spoke to me. I've kept the car for long. I wasn't riding it. And I didn't have any better car. So, God now spoke to me. So, I called a friend one day. I said, can you take this car to auction? Go and sell it for me. Whatever I can fetch, I will add money to it, buy another car. They took it to auction. And they said they will only pay 9,000. I said, now what? I said, please, bring the car back. Bring it back. They brought the car back to me. And I kept it in front of my house. Until one day, God told me, the good women, the leader of the good women of our church then, a single parent, the van she was riding, she had an accident with it. The whole back was shattered. But she was a single parent. She had to use single then, not because she doesn't have a husband, but the husband wasn't there for her. She left house and has two little children. She has to use some big mastiff to hold the glass together. Each time I see this lady bring the car to the church, I'll be angry. I'm going to say, you're stupid. Why are you angry? You have a solution, you can do something about it now. Instead of you not being happy seeing her in that car. He said, do something about it. Oh, I said, really? But it wasn't long. The way God spoke to me. You see that car that you have in front of your house? She was the reason I didn't allow you to sell it. Can you please go and give it to her immediately? So immediately I called my wife. I said, well, this is what God is telling you. He said, well, that's okay. I know if God speaks to you, you can give away anything. I'm just praying one day you not give me away. I said, don't worry. I promise. I promise I'm not going to do that. I said, I promise you I'm not going to do that. So I quickly called the woman. I said, please, can you please, once you see me in church tomorrow, just say, Pastor, what you said. Once you see what you said, I will understand. So I put the key, the remote control, the title, everything, I put it in an envelope. I sealed it. I got to church this morning. Once the lady just came, I just said, please take my, go. She opened it. I said, when you say, what do I do with this? I said, when you will finish the service, go to the front of my house. That's the key, that's the title, go and carry it. Hey. He said, what is it about? Oh. I said, please don't ask me questions. I'm just obeying divine instruction. Just go. Go. He said, are you saying it's mine? I said, please don't ask me questions. I said, go. Don't go. Go and carry the car and go. Now, this is where I'm going. I gave the car away. And I was just all over the place looking for a loan to buy a good car. But one day I told God, I said, Lord, is this the way you are going to be looking at me? I said, these are not the days of Elijah when a man is running a chariot by a leg. I need a car. And how God spoke to me. He said, you have been praying for a loan to buy a car. You have not been praying to me for a car.
Oh!
He said, there is a difference in the two. He said, you are praying to me. All your prayer is why, Lord, please grant me favor with all these lenders so that I can get a good loan. He said, isn't that your prayer? I said, yes, Lord, that's my prayer. He said, now, can you change your prayer? Oh, that is, do you need a loan or you need a car? I said, God, it's a car that I needed.
Oh. Preach, Pastor.
Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Within, he said, during that period, you see, God is something else. A brother in the church, Toyosi knows this brother. He came to me, he called me one day. He said, Pastor, are you at home? I said, yes. He said, I need to come and see you quickly. So he came. Because the car that my wife was driving there is a Mitsubishi Galant 1998 edition. And she was going to school 2.5 hours away. Then she was in school. When we finish service on Sunday, and my wife is going back to school, when she starts the car like this, it will just start. There's a. And people will say, Pastor, will this car get to this city where Madam is going? I say, don't worry. I have an understanding with God. This car will not stop for a single second on that road for 2 years that the car will be plying that road. I say, I already have that understanding. Because I can't afford to buy a new car now. And God knows. I could buy it, but that means that probably I'm going to be cheating on my tithe. Which I'm too wise to do that. God has been so good to me to do that. I've worked with God enough to know the things that are primary to God. If I call my children then, I say, Mommy is going to school. No more cable in this house. We cut cable. I say, we are downsizing. Because everybody is living on my income. I could afford to keep those things. My tithe will take care of all those things. But, you know, I'm wise enough not to mess around with the things of God.
Yes.
So the brother came. And he brought a brand new Mercedes C-Class. And he said, Pastor, I believe that Madam will like this. I said, it's not only Madam. I also like it. He said, but... He said, the car note is so much. I say, but I cannot afford this kind of car now. We can't afford it in my family. Madam is still in school. Oh, he said, sir, I know, sir. He said, but God has led me that the car note on this car for a year is $6,000. He said, this is a check, sir. I'm giving it to you, sir.
Pastor, for real? Oh, my God.
But I say, bro, hold on. Yes, bro. I said, take the car away. Take the car away with the check. He said, okay, take the checks out. I said, I bought the car and the check. Just take them away. So he left. I went to my prayer closet. I prayed to God. And God says, don't take it. You know, for every child, it's not every gift that comes that a child of God takes. You must learn to hear from God. Otherwise, you will take something that will run your stomach. So I called the brother. I said, I'm sorry. I mean, Mercedes has always been my choice car, even in Nigeria. Apart from my official car, in Nigeria in those days, I don't drive any other car apart from Mercedes, by the grace of God. But God says, don't. I say, even the check. God says, don't ask me questions. I say, don't. I left it. Do you know the same brother? The same brother. About a year after, he bought a Lexus 470 LX Jeep. Black exterior, cream interior. Registered it in my name. And he brought the title and the key to me that God says, I should give this to you. Wow. You know, more often than not, we children of God, we get a substitute for the main thing.
Mm. Yeah.
We get an alternative because we cannot be patient. Mm. Because you want to run ahead of God.
Yeah.
Oh, is it that sister? Is that brother born again? He's not born again, but he's a Christian. I can manage him. Thank you, Errol. I can manage him. Why? But Bouchette is not born again, but you know we are from the same village. I can manage him. And we get a substitute for the main thing. God has the real one that he wants to give to us. Lastly, if you want to experience the power of God, you must learn to go back to your familiar territory. Be seated for a second before I bring this sermon to a close. You must learn to go back to your familiar territory. The Bible says, Elijah went to Carmel. Elijah went back to his familiar territory. Does Carmel sound familiar to you guys?
No.
What happened to Elijah and Carmel? It was in Carmel that Elijah called down the fire of God when he started with the false prophet of Baal. Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, please, just, I want to please keep with me. Go back to your familiar territory. Why? Elijah went back to his familiar territory. Why? Because that camel represented the place of faithfulness of God in his life. When he didn't have the kind of name that he had then, Mount Carmel represented the place where he tested the integrity of God. The Lord sent down fire from heaven now to consume this 450 prophets. If fire did not come down that day, Elijah would not have left that place alive. To us, when we are reading biblical story, to us, it is a story. But the person that is happening to It represents something else. So Carmel represented the place of faithfulness of God in the life of Elijah. So what did he do? He went back to Carmel. He could have gone to any other mountain. He said, because in Carmel, I knew that was where God proved his faithfulness to me. We must learn to go back to our familiar territory. Jacob, he made a promise in Bethel when he was going. And his brother was pursuing him. Esau was pursuing him. When he was coming back, at the same Bethel, the Bible says he raised an altar to God. He went back to his familiar territory. Going back to familiar territory means you are recounting the faithfulness of God. Listen, children of God, when we are believing God for something, I've almost seen the children of God, when they are praying, oh Lord, you that did the miracle of Sisa Gogunleri Agbabiaka, do my own for me. Father, you that did the miracle of Brother Daguduro Ajalekoko, do my own for me. As if God has not done anything in the past for you that you can remind God about. Listen, David said, Lord, you are the one that helped me to take care of the lions and the bear that came to attack my father's sheep. When I was down to nothing, I was nobody but a shepherd boy, you stood up for me. When I didn't have anything, even my father did not recognize I was there. You were there for me. You are the God. When my son was sick, you healed my son. When I had nothing in Africa, you provided for me. I was looking for a visa to get out of Africa. You made it possible for me to get the visa. You are the same God. I'm now in America. Prove your faithfulness, oh God. But we recount other people's testimony. The faithfulness of God to others. As if God has not been faithful to you. Has God been faithful to you? Yes. Has God blessed you? Yes. Some of us, we are not sure. Yes. Listen, because you are believing God for one big miracle that has not happened. But let me tell you this. Listen, go and do just a little test. When you are coming from Africa, forget about who you are or what you had. All your possession, all my dad brought in Africa, they could fit into one or two portmanteaus that you brought to America. True of us. In America today, some of us, our shoes alone cannot fit into 10 boxes. I know what I'm talking about. I about houses. I don't care how big your father's house was in Africa. Did you bring a house from Africa here?
No.
Is there anybody that come from under the bridge today?
No.
Has God been faithful or not?
Yes.
When you are coming from Africa, even if you are driving a Lamborghini in Africa, did you drive a Lamborghini to America? Are you walking to school and walking everywhere on your legs in America? Some of us, it's not that we want to ride the car. It's the kind of car that we want to ride. Has God been faithful or not?
Yes.
If you are still not sure, do this. Just tell Pastor the result. Take your picture 15 years ago when you were in Africa. Put it beside your picture today. Don't bother to tell me the result. Just take the two pictures to Pastor. So compare notes. That Pastor... This is the way I look 20 years ago when I was in Africa. This is the way I'm looking now. And you yourself, just like the Bible says, you judge yourself. Just by the appearance in the picture, you judge yourself whether God has been faithful or not. Children of God, if you want to really experience the power of God in its raw form, in its undiluted form, you must learn to celebrate the faithfulness of God in your own life. Don't look at it, baby. No, it's good for us to look at others to challenge us. But please, don't base whatever God is going to do on recounting the blessing of God upon the life of others. You have something you can tell God, you can remind God about in your own life. Lord, when I'm down to nothing, you are there. You are the one that was there for me. When I didn't know I was going to get my next meal, it's not difficult for me to recount the faithfulness of God. When my girls were pretty young, when they were children, you know, they came to me one day. They said, Dad, why is it that when you go into that your prayer closet, you shed tears? We see you cry every time. I said, you children, you don't know anything. You see my photograph all over the place, inviting your dad in Switzerland today, in family Germany tomorrow, in UK day after today, next tomorrow. I said, if you know my background, It should only have been God who made me who I am. I say it's not difficult for me. It's not difficult for me. I can say the place of prayer for 10 hours thanking God. Because I was nothing. I was nothing. I was nothing but for his grace. I was nothing. I was nothing. So as children of God, that was what Elijah did. I, by prayer, he prayed. He put his leg on his knees. The Bible says, please, don't take prayer casually. Please, I beg you. I beg you. Why? Because the word of God will speak to me back in prayers. They are powerful to accomplish. The last testimony as I round up, I don't know for the reason God wants me to share this testimony, but I know it's going to bless somebody. About the power that God is giving to us from this conference. Years ago, when we were small, I have one senior sister. She was born with a chronic sickle cell anemia. Chronic. Her eyes were always permanently yellow. There's nowhere, hospital, man of God, whatever, that our mother did not take my sister to. Whenever my sister had crisis in the nighttime, I would be weeping with her profusely. I would be weeping with her. Very brilliant. And all the people who have their children abroad there, whenever they want to send letter, it's all the area of text message and the email and whatever. If you want to get across to your children in abroad, you have to write a letter and send it by post, by Queen's mail. My sister will be the one that everybody will call in the neighborhood to write the letter for them. But my sister couldn't further education. Why? Because if my sister is well in 2 weeks, for the next 2 months, my sister will have crisis. She will not be able to go anywhere. I mean, mother spent money. Mother spent every money that she didn't even have. But yet, the situation didn't change. Years rolled by. And all of a sudden, my sister got a man to marry him. I said, what? If I were, I wouldn't marry my sister. Then, honest truth, I wouldn't. But a man married my sister. Fortunately, unfortunately, they were Catholics. When they got married, the two of them, they will hold each other. They will carry rosary. We are going to Mass. We are going to Mass. We are going to Mass. For several years of marriage, no child, no issue at all. Until one day, a friend in the neighborhood invited my sister to an open air crusade of a popular blind man, blind preacher, who has now gone to be with the Lord in the city where I come from. And my sister went. You know, a person who has Catholic back, who is a Catholic, just see the crowd and the sea of head. It was enough attraction. My sister said, he was just looking like this. What is this? Very strange to her. He said, and this blind man, he was calling, he was preaching and calling all kind of situation just from the word of God. You don't know, the man was blind. He was quoting the Bible profusely. He said that people were shouting, amen, amen. He said, all of a sudden, she didn't know what hit her. She just lost control of herself. She started rolling on the floor, pushing people here and there, rolling, rolling. For how long she had that encounter, she didn't know. Rolling on the floor, everywhere there was dust. By the time my sister came back to consciousness, God has supernaturally changed the genotype of my sister. No liar is going to make heaven. From that day, that year, which is about 40 years ago, I have never had my sister complaining about headache, talk less of being admitted to any hospital. Now, immediately after, my sister began to have children. She has children, 3 children, and today she's a grandmother. What can God not do? That's why I tell people anywhere I go, I'm not preaching a message that I read somewhere or that people told me. I'm preaching a God that is real. And that's the reason. When you come in contact with a man of God that is preaching a message of God that he has seen in action in his life, it cannot but work for you as well. That's the reason for this testimony. Shall we rise up this morning? This program is themed the word first. Nothing is going to happen on this side of eternity except in response to the word of God. If I say people invite me all over the place, all over the world today to come and preach here, come and preach there, it's not for anything but because of the word of God. The word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4, verse number 12. There's nothing that the word of God cannot do. The word of God can break through any barrier or any opposition. The word of God has power to deliver. The word of God is mighty to deliver. At this morning, I would just want us to pray. All of us, we are in different situations. Our needs are as different as our names. Our situation is as diverse as the name by which we are called. But there is a God who can take care of our situation by the authority of his word. This morning, the word of God has been spoken for. What I want us to do is this. And please, hear me clearly. If you are here, because I'm going to pray for us, we will pray and I'm going to round up the prayer for us. We've done whatever administration we ought to do yesterday. Now, let me say this. I'm going to do something which God instructed me to do before we pray. Let me share this testimony to encourage you regarding, and it is just an altar call. God spoke to me. Every day of this meeting that I'm preaching, I should give people opportunity to come to the Lord. There is a church in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. I preach in the church every second Sunday, third Sunday of every year. The pastor said, please, we just want you to come and preach in our church 3 days to start the year for us. So this particular year, during the week, I had to be in Canada, Toronto, Canada, for a prayer retreat. The weather was bad that year. It was as bad as it could get. It was like minus 28. Snow was like this on the ground. And so, physically speaking, I didn't want to. But I committed myself. And I've been there the year before. So I said, don't worry, I'll come. So they took me from Toronto to Detroit. On Saturday night, when I finished with my prayer retreat in Canada, in Toronto. And we got to church on Sunday. They gave me the microphone and started to preach. Of the things that God did that day, one stood out clearly. There was a young man sitting at the middle aisle of the middle aisle of the church. As I was preaching in a big church, sanctuary very big, as I was preaching and moving, I could not just take my face off this young man. So I asked the Holy Spirit, what about this young man? And God started speaking to me. So I stopped and I told him, can you please stand up? So the man stood up. And I told him, God is speaking to me about you. However, what God is saying is not something I can see openly. Could you please see me after the service? So he came to see me in the office. The word was very clear. Very clear. The word was simply this. That years ago, she had engaged in a strained relationship. That what was it? And you know, the guy was doing like this. Like I tried to crack your brain to remember something. Ah! I felt like giving him a holy slap in the name of the Lord. So I shouted. I said, young man, wake up! Smell the coffee. You are not the only one in that congregation. The word of God is very clear. It's not something you crack your brain to remember. He said, yes, sir, I remember. I said, what's it? He said, years ago, I used to have sexual relationship with my uncle's daughter. I said, well, is that from the culture where you came from in Africa? Is that socially acceptable? He said, no. I said, is it culturally acceptable? He said, no. I said, is it legally acceptable? He said, no. And I said, so, when I made daughter call, you didn't even raise up your hand. You want to die in your sin? And then when God is now calling you aside again to let you know, you are trying to crack your brain? He said, I'm sorry, sir. It's because it's a long time. I said, come on. Why are you so ignorant? Status of limitation can run on the offenses of man, not offenses with God. Until you confess and repent and God forgives you, you'll be carrying like a load and it will be weighing you down. I said, do you want now to have a new life? He said, before I even finished, he was already on his knees. I led him in the sinner's prayer. He gave his life to Christ right there and there. And immediately after, I heard the word 18. I said, young man, 18 has something to do with your life. What is it? He said, sir, 18 years ago, I came into America. I said, what has the story been like? He said, sir, horrible. He said, I've been running from pillar to post. I say it cannot be otherwise. Because the word of God cannot be broken. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 15. The way of a transgressor is rough. It is hard. And that was it. Repented of it. Led him in the sinner's prayer. Gave his life to Christ. And I released him to God. Then 2 years ago, after that year, I went to Africa. I was returning back to the U.S. I was already seated in that plane. We have already boarded. I just saw a young man run from one end of the plane to the other. Ran. Got to where I was. Embraced me. Was all over me. I look at him. Everybody around was looking at us. I couldn't really. I said, young man, how are you? He said, I'm fine, sir. Was excited. I'm so excited to see you, sir. I said, remind me, who are you? He said, sir. Detroit. Oh, I said Detroit. Oh, yeah, he said Detroit. I said 18. He said yes. And everybody was just looking at us. He understood what I meant by it. I said, I'll slide with you now. He said, you can see, sir. God has done a new work in my life. God has taken me to a new level completely. May God turn around situation in your life. Yeah. What was it? Just one decision. One decision that day. And this is what happened. By the time they were taking me to the airport, in Michigan that day, in Detroit that day, I had the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You see, that young man is the reason I brought you to this city today. God will go to any extent to save his soul. Why? Because like I said yesterday, the easiest thing for God to do for us is to help us when we are in need. But if there is something that is going to be an obstacle, God cannot violate his own principle. This morning, while all eyes are closed, you want to give your life to Christ or you want to rededicate your life? Because I'm going to pray for us. And you will know at the word first of this year that God sent a servant to this church. God gave some messages in this church. You are part of it and you have a testimony. That will be your story in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But before then, I'm going to pray for us. But
we hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.